Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. All this month, we've been looking at what manner of love. Today's program is love versus love. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time in your scriptures. We ask you to open them to us that we may understand them, and that understanding translates to goodness in our life, change in our life. Thank you, Father God, that we may see you clearly. Heavenly Father, be with us as we look into your word, because it lightens our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we've been looking at what manner of love, and all this month we're looking at love. Last time we looked at John 3:16, and it's really a blueprint for life, a sign of the times. And those times are any time, every time, all the time. Anyway, but today we're going to look specifically at this, and we're going to get to some other things as the month goes on, but I wanted to look at love versus love. You know, people use love very differently. They have different meanings, and they have different meanings at different times in your life. And as you know, the Greek language is a very precise language with lots of depth and nuance. So I don't want you to be intimidated by this, but we're going to have a good time, hopefully, in the scriptures today. Love versus love. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite characters, and almost everybody, one of almost anybody's favorite characters, Peter. But I'm not going to talk about his end of his ministry. This is going to show Peter coming full circle with his calling and show you how God brings him into a higher calling and what that higher calling is. And hopefully that will be meaningful to each of us. So I want us to go back to when the record in Luke. Luke, of course, shows him as, his humanity, the Son of Man, his empathy, his connection to all kinds of people. And in Luke, about chapter 5, is when he calls Peter to the ministry. And he probably even knew Peter from before, but he's by the seashore, by the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, and there were two ships that were out, and the fishermen were out of them. Remember, they were washing their nets because, of course, they needed to, wash them. And they're heavy. They're made out of rope, and then you sog them down with water. They're pretty heavy. And so they were almost done washing their nets. And Jesus had been speaking, And they were already out of sorts, or at least Peter was out of sorts, because he tells them, oh, you know, Jesus, as you know, says to him, we're going to, you know, launch out so that I can speak to the people, which he did, you know, launched out into like the shallows. And so his voice would carry and they could all hear him. So after he had done that, and he asked him to thrust out a little from the land, he sat down, taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he'd left speaking, he said to Simon, we all know this, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Peter, now Jesus always called him Simon, Simon Peter. Simon answered and he'd say, Master, we have toiled. We're talking hard work here. All night long, we've taken nothing. And so he was like saying, you know, we're the fishermen, and we've already been out all night. So he's out of sorts, I'm sure, because he's been up all night. And he'd been up all night working, not up all night playing. And when he'd been working, it was even worse than that, because they had to no avail. He caught nothing. And so he's going to sound, so he sounds a little bit religious, and we have gone through this before. This is not the first time I've covered this, and if you're interested, you know, I'm sure that that if you write in or call in or whatever, we can find that teaching for you on Peter's calling. But anyway, he sounds real religious, as a lot of us are when we feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, but we're really not ready to give up our seniority and our superiority. He's saying, you know, Jesus, you're really okay with this teaching thing, but I'm the fisherman. We've toiled all night, caught nothing, yet to look religious. At your word, I'll let down a net. Now, we know that that was not his word. A lot of times, this is, you know, we all will kind of fudge on what the word of God is because we don't find it convenient. Never let at your word, I'll let down the net, a single net. So anyway, when they did, they'd caught a multitude of fishes. The net broke. They beckoned to their partner to come in, and they brought them in. And he knelt down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Well, you know, when you get called or God singles you out, that's not a time to be overcome with remorse or conscience or guilt, unless you're something guilty of. And this is it. He really doubted that Jesus would get him this draught of fishes. He was a professional fisherman. He'd caught nothing. So at your word, we do this. And whammo, he saw it and he knew that was his conscience. And then, of course, Jesus said to him, so far you've been, you know, a fisherman, but now I'll make you fisher of men. And the point I've made when I've taught this is that Jesus had to do this because if he had just sent him out as a fisher of men, well, you were a fisher of fish, now you're a fisher of men. What kind of fisher of fish were you? A failure. You toiled and toiled and caught nothing. But now you're going to be a fisher of men in the same way. Which way? The way of with God's divine intervention, it'll be easy for you. You won't even have to work at it, and you'll get more than you can handle. And thus I refer you to the day of Pentecost. Peter, standing up with the 11, began to speak. And when he did, over 3,000 men, not to count women and children, came into the fold. That is that miraculous draught. So the same way God had to change his mindset about what kind of fisherman he was, he had to be a successful fisherman so he could be a successful fisher of men. So that was how he started ministry. They went, they've lived together, they've walked, and then, of course, the horrible time of the arrest and the you know, Peter denied him. We know all of that. But then the crucifixion, and they were all in an uproar there. They were, you know, they loved Jesus. They didn't understand what had happened. They believed him that he was going to be the Messiah and all things were going to change and everything was going to be fantastic. And now all of a sudden their hero, their mentor, their provider, their guru is gone, murdered. What do they do, you know, in a very particularly gruesome and demeaning way? What do they do now? Sometimes we get, you know, given we've been given a setback. Sometimes we thought something was going to work away, and man, it just looks awful. What do we do at those times? So Peter, now we're in John chapter, say about chapter 20. No, we'll make it chapter 21. Anyway, so chapter 21, here we are. Now, the thing is, to Peter, it's like it's over, all right? But for Jesus, and for us as we see it, for God, it's a new beginning. I talk about this when I talk about Genesis, that man's first day, God's last day was man's first day. God already prepared everything, and he sat down to rest. He created man. God rested from his labors was man's first day. We started with that rest. It's a new beginning. Eighth, you know, is a new beginning. So when Peter thought was the end of ministry was now a new beginning for him, but he didn't know it. And that happens to a lot of us. Sometimes we think we're at the end of something. We think it's over. It's done with. We're finished. Okay, that was a great dream. It's done. But instead of it being an end, it's a new beginning. Amen? That what it is that one end, the end of one thing is the beginning of something else. Peter thought it was the end of his ministry. Well, it was the end of that phase of ministry. Now he's beginning a new ministry, a new calling. But anyway, for him, it was the end. So what do we do? What do we do when we feel everything is lost? Everything is, you know, do we open a pint of ice cream? Do we crawl into bed? You know, you can sound real religious, but we all know that there are just sometimes, oh, heck, I'm going to go to the movies or whatever it is. We can be, you know, there are times that, we respond well, but there are just sometimes it throws us for a loop. We had never seen, you know, the Messiah we loved, believing the Son of God, hanging on a cross. We already know the end. We looked at the back chapter. They did not know that. So verse chapter 21, verse 3. Verse 21, we'll back up. After these things, Jesus showed himself, etc. They were together with Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. This happened. And now what are we going to do? Simon Peter, verse 3, said unto them, I go fishing. So like, I don't know all you're going to do. I'm going to go back to the thing I know how to do. I'm going to go fishing. And they said unto him, we go with thee also. This shows that Peter was a leader. So, and this is something I just want to, just tiny little word of caution. Some people are not leaders. People don't follow them. That's okay. But if you're a leader, you have to be extra careful, because if you do good, people follow you. Well done. But if you make a wrong step, people will still follow you. They don't call you their leader because you're right or wrong. It's a quality in you. Peter was a leader. So when he was doing good, they followed him. And when he did bad, they followed him. He said, I don't know about all this. I'm going fishing. They said, well, we'll go with you. Okay. They went forth, entered into a ship. They're back at Galilee here. And that night they did what? They caught nothing. Slip back to, you know, Luke. Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Okay. Jesus is always there. Sometimes we know him, sometimes we don't know him, but he's always there. All right. So he was on the shore. This pattern. So we see they toiled all night, caught nothing, you know. So this should make Peter begin to feel something feels familiar here. So Jesus is on the shore. They don't know. And he said, you know, children, come on in. Do you have any fish? Bring it on in. I'll cook it up for you. And then he says to them, They said, do you have any? They said, no. And I'm sure Peter said like that, no. And he may have had a few words after that. He said, well, why don't you take your net and cast it on the other side of the boat? Now, you know, they have cast it on the one side, the other side, the front, the back. They've turned the boat around. They've gone to every place they could think of. If it were just, oh, throw it on the other side, they would have already done that. So here goes Peter getting all upset again. But then they realize it's the Lord. And they did get another miraculous draught of fishes. Again, that sign. This is how you started ministry before. Now we're going to another level. Okay. So he said to them, as soon as they were coming to the land, they saw the fire of coals there and fish laid on them. This, again, is the sign of the beginning of his ministry. Before, there was the miraculous draught. Now there's a miraculous draught, but there's another element. Who brought those fish? Jesus didn't go out and catch fish, didn't go out in a boat and a net. And yet when they came to shore, there was already, there was already divine provision. The provision was there before the miraculous draught came. So here again is that sign of what ministry would be like. Simon Peter went, drew the net to land full of fishes. There were all kind, but the net was not broken. Again, it's showing it's going to be different this time. All right. Anyway, it shows an increase of capacity. They had the same nets they had before. Before it broke. This time, it didn't break. Increased capacity. Well, but anyway. So I want to get to the love part. So this is coming full circle about his calling. So Jesus said, come and dine. I like that scripture. None of the disciples dare ask him who you are because they knew who it was. Jesus said, come, take bread and gave them and fish likewise. So they ate. This again is this, remember the Last Supper and feeding, eating is, it becomes an important, I don't want to say symbol because it isn't, but it's a type. There's significance in it. There's meaning in it. Now, this was the third time, okay, that Jesus had showed himself to the disciples. So when they finished dining, this is the part I wanted to get to. I know it takes me a long time sometimes to get to the, pardon the pun, the meat of things. But Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of it, do you love me more than these? Now, I'm going to stop here because much of the time I've heard people inadvertently refer to this, do you love me more than these? Meaning, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? And I don't have any concrete proof any more than you do or they do. But I do know that Jesus is not going to change his nature all of a sudden. Jesus never compared people to people. He's not going to say, well, do you love me more than this other person loves me? No more than you say, do you love one child more than another? Or do your children who love you, do one of you love me more than the other one? No. What he's saying is, do you love me more than these? These what? What did they have in abundance? Fish. It wasn't, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? That would have been cruel. Now, maybe John would have thought it because we know John said that he was the disciple who loved him more. But anyway, and it is John's gospel. But do you love me more than these? These what? These fish. It may not be these fish, but I choose to believe it because that makes sense. Peter had left following the Lord. It was just too much. And he went back to what he knew. I've known people, it's like, I can't do this ministry thing, can't do this church thing. Go back to whatever secular job they held. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with secular jobs, but what I'm saying is when we leave the uncomfortable, the spiritual, to go back to what we've already done, because it's easy. He said, do you love me more than these? These what? These fish. And if it's not that, I can guarantee it's not the disciples, because he never would do that kind of comparison. Do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yea, Lord, you know I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Okay, verse 16. So he, that is Jesus, said to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, and he said unto him, that is Jesus said unto him third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Now remember, he's also grumbling because he got caught. But grieved, and he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things, so you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I want to look back and see what it says. Feed my sheep. The third time, feed my sheep. Okay. Verse 80, very, verily I say unto you. And he talks about the ministry that is to come. Now, if you read it just the way we've read it, it becomes a little disconcerting. Because why would Jesus continue to ask him, do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus is not insecure. And Peter says, I love you. I love you. And so it looks very straightforward. But remember, our passage today, this message today is love versus love. Each of them said, do you love me? And he answered, I love you. But we're missing something because not all love is the same love. Do you love me? I love you. Not all love is the same love. Love versus love. I'm going to now stop and take a little look at love in the Greek. And I'm sure most of you are somewhat familiar with this, but I want you to refresh you and also maybe give it a little bit of in-depth look. There are different words for love. Actually, there are three words for love in the Greek. The third one, eros, which is like sexual love, is not in the gospel, is not in the Bible. But the other two are, and I'm sure you've heard this, agape and phileo. Now, you may have a little pat message. Agape is the love of God, phileo is love of man. It's a little deeper than that. There's a little more to it. Yes, that's right. But the nuance, and I'm not getting deep into that, so don't feel that, you know, it'll be more than you can handle, but I want to give it a little twist. When we look at, both either noun or verb, the love or do you love me? Okay. Agape is the common word used by the Greeks for love. And even in this, it is far lower than the New Testament Philadelphia, the love of the brethren. Agape is spontaneous love, irrespective of rights. The word was supposed to be peculiar to the New Testament, but it is found in the papyri. Okay. Now, phileo, we understand, is, philanthropy, or the love of man. It did not go beyond giving man his rights among the Greeks. It's used in a far higher sense, and occurs only in Acts, etc. Okay, now, the reason I want to draw this out, because you can't just say, agape is the love of God, and phileo is the love of man. Well, the Greeks used agape all the time. That was the one that they used. Now, I'm kind of combining both noun and verb. Don't worry about it. Just to show you the difference, love versus love. Agape, or agapeo, is to regard with favor, to make much of a thing or a person on principle. It is the cause or the grounds for number two. Okay? Remember that word principle. Now, phileo is to kiss or to be fond of, having regard to feeling as a distinct from principle. It's the demonstration of number one, of agape. Okay, that's why it is never used of man's love for God. God can love us in principle and can display that. We can love God in principle, but we cannot display it to him. It's used of the Lord's love for Lazarus, but not to his sisters, Martha, again, because of that. So what I want you to take from this, and I don't want to make it deep and don't go into it, just enough for you to understand why we use agape for the love of God, phileo, the love of man, isn't just that they're separate, but they have a different aspect of the same love. Agape is we love people on principle, or we love things on principle. God loves us because God is God, and he loves. And God loves you when you are singing hallelujah in church. And God loves you when you're mad in traffic and cursing and yelling and doing all kinds of things in traffic. God loves you because of principle, because God is God. God cannot not love you. He chooses to love. He is God. He is love. Now, phileo is a matter of feeling. Okay? And the truth is, spiritually, I love God. Agape, I love God. And I can't, and that's because he put his spirit in me, and his spirit cannot be moved. Amen. But phileo, it's not just brotherly love. It has to do with a human love in that it's a matter of feelings. Why is it when you're only in a romantic mood, you say, oh, I love you, or, you know, somebody does something good for you. Somebody sends you a beautiful card and you send them back a little text that, oh, I love you. Well, it's not when, you know, they crunch your car and you don't come up to your child or your spouse gets an accident, crunches the fender in your car. You don't run up and give them a hug and say, I love you. You may not hug them because that would be phileo, but you still love them. But what when you say, I love you, you're really talking about that feeling that's produced by that permanent love, that principle. So if you think of it more in this way, that agape has to be with love by principle. Love because that's character, nature. And the other, phileo, has to do with your feelings, how you feel. Now, the reason I'm going to do that is I've gone to Greek. Now I'm going to do something else. It is an interlinear. And if you are a serious Bible student, I'm sure you have an interlinear or know what one is. And I won't read, you know, you don't have to read Greek. You don't have to know all the little scribbles, but you should be able to compare them. And what it is there's the Greek text and Greek letters, and then under it is the corresponding English word that it is. And on most of them, to the side will be a text. Now, this just happens to be Jay Green's interlinear that I have. And I'm going to read this same passage between Jesus and Peter, and you will see a different love versus love. Okay, let me see, where do I start? Chapter 22, my goodness. I guess I'm not as prepared as I thought. Okay, so you know, they eat, and Jesus brings up the subject. Let's see. Jesus said to him to bring some of the fish. Okay, then Jesus took some of the bread and gave to them, and some of the fish too. All right, verse 13. So now we're about verse 14. I'm trying to read in two different languages at the same time. Okay, this is now the third time that Jesus... Okay, verse 15. Then when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? That word is agape. Peter said unto him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Okay, then I'm going to read it from the words underneath, so you get the idea. When therefore they had dined, he says to Simon Peter, Jesus says to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Agape thou me more than these? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I have affection for thee. Phileo, I have phileo for thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. He says unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me, love thou me? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I have affection for thee, phileo thee. He says unto him, shepherd my sheep. And then again he says unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, hast thou affection for me? Have you phileo for me? And then he was grieved and he said, you've asked me three times, I told you, I have affection for you. And he said unto him then, feed my sheep. Now, I will make this clearly. The three times three is also the number of complete. So everything he needed to do in there was complete. Feed the lambs. Now, watch it. That changed. Feed the lambs, shepherd the sheep or nurture the sheep, and then feed my sheep. The lambs are the babes. You got to feed them. You have to shepherd or nurture all the flock. The old ones, the young ones, the strong ones, the stubborn ones, all of them need nurturing. And then at the last, feed my sheep, the older ones. I will very briefly go into this. It struck me once, and I was kind of whining to God about why I won't go into the whole thing on why, but he says that he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And I thought, well, every sower is also eater. Well, there are some who can sow and feed themselves and feed others. Amen. And there are some that just sit there and eat. Okay. If you pastor, you understand this. You have people who come into your church. Some of them are sowers. They are workers. They will take the word and they will produce out of it for themselves, but also for others. And then there are some who just come in and eat. Ooh, hallelujah, and go. And we can't be resentful that not everybody is a sower. I mean, an eater. Sower, excuse me. We all eat, but some have to sow and produce for others. God does not hold it against you. So he feeds both the sower and the eater. But he gives seed to the sower. And I used to complain, why is it harder on me? Well, when I read the word, I see it as seed, but somebody else may just see it as bread. I'll give you an example. When I read the Gospels and I see the miracles that Jesus does, I don't identify with the person who receives the miracle. Ooh, he healed that person. Oh, Jesus, I need you to heal me. Ooh, he raised that one. Oh, Lord, I need you to raise me. He provided for the widow. Ooh, provide for me. I always see it, this is terrible, I see it from Jesus' side. Okay, Jesus healed, well, Lord, I want to heal. Jesus feeds, well, Lord, I want to feed. Anyway, that's all very quick. I'm not doing this in depth today, but the three things that he told him is feed my lambs, my baby sheep. Feed or nurture, not feed this, I'm nurture the entire flock. And then feed the sheep. So he told him three different things, and those three things together are completely the calling of Peter. They're the calling of a pastor. All right. But here's what he also is saying. He says to him, Peter, do you agape me? And he said, Lord, you know I phileo you. Says, Peter, do you agape me? And he said, Lord, you know I phileo you. Then Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? And that's when he gets upset and says, Lord, I've told you three times I phileo you. All right. And you understand how I'm using that. For us to see there was love against love. This was the beginning of a new ministry for Peter. Just the same way when he first has his miraculous dots of fish and he's sent out as a fisher of men. Oh, now he's sent out as a shepherd of sheep. Do you see this, this parallel, this coming full circle? Before, as fisher of men, now it's shepherd of sheep. And he tells him, and what he says is, do you agape me? Do you love me, like with the love of God? And he says, you know, I love you with the love of man. And then he asks him again, and finally he says, do you love me with the love of man? And he says, yes. Why this? And again, I'm speculating, and I've got as much right to speculate as anybody. I'm not putting it out to you that this is absolutely it, but to me it fits with all parts of the scripture. This is before the day of Pentecost. Jesus is still with them. Remember, he says, I go that I may send the Comforter to you. And the Comforter is also our strength, and the Comforter is our help. He's our helper. Peter was incapable of loving Jesus with the love of God before the Comforter came, before the day of Pentecost. And the first thing he did on the day of Pentecost is stand up and what? Address the flock, didn't he? And he got his miraculous drop, which I talked about. And so it is with us. We may, you know, if you've been one of those people who was in church before you really got saved, you know what I mean by really got saved. Anyway, you can love God, you can love God's people, you can love church, but it's not the love of God. It is that human love, that love to in response to God loving you. Does that make sense? It, you know, you like the same way Peter phileo Jesus. He loved him, but he couldn't love Jesus with the same love that Jesus loved him. Jesus agape'd him and phileo'd him, but Peter could only phileo him because until the Spirit dwelt in him, he couldn't love him with the love of God. From the day of Pentecost, we can, in my spirit, it's the love of God. Amen. That's why we can love the unlovely. Why we can, you know, what he was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. We can love those who despitefully use us. We can forgive those who are rotten to us. We can continue to pray for them who despitefully use us. For them, it was all actions, but now it can spring from that love that's in us. Love versus love. Peter, Jesus kept the same way he did with the draught of fishes. He was calling him to a higher calling. He said, you will be a fisher of men. Then he launched, you know, the second time, he launches into this thing about love. What does it take for your next level of ministry? It was the same calling, but it was a higher calling. He had the same pattern of being called into ministry, but it was higher. He was challenging him to love with the love of God. Don't just love with the love of man. Don't love out of feelings. And, you know, we know elsewhere, he says this, I think it was Paul, who says, so what is it if I love those who love me? No big deal. The world does that. But to love those who are pretty rotten to you, it's easy to love those that love you. That's what Peter did understand. He loved Jesus. But Jesus is now calling him to a higher calling. Love versus love. The lower love is going to be replaced with a higher love. Phileo is going to be replaced with agape. Now, when you have agape love, the love of God, you will phileo, you will demonstrate it, you will feel it. But I don't always feel it. I may love people all the time, agape, but I don't always feel it. Sometimes I feel different than that. But the challenge, the calling in ministry is to love them with that deeper love, that higher love, that God love. And that's the pattern Jesus was laying out for Peter, and I believe in the same manner, laying out for us. This is our month of what manner of love? What manner of love are we going to love with? Are we going to love with agape love? Or are we going to love only with phileo love? Are we going to love in spite of people, not just because of people? Are we going to love the way God loves us? Or are we going to love the way we've been loved by people? This is the pattern. Jesus came to Peter, and just by the way it was like you're starting a new chapter of your ministry. He thought it was over. But now Jesus is saying, nope, it's just a new season. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. And this is what you're going to need. Before you were a fisherman, now you're going to be a feeder of lambs, a shepherd to the flock, and you're going to feed the sheep. This is what you need to do. If you only do it, and anybody who's done any kind of ministry, if you only do it by what you feel, you will never live up to the higher calling. And Jesus is saying, when that day comes, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Peter stood up and demonstrated that love of God that was inside him, that agape that was inside him. He loved on the people who had crucified his master. So let it be for us. There is love, and then there is love. The world spends this month talking about love, but I challenge you to that higher love. I challenge myself to that higher love. We will talk about that next week when we talk about that higher love. That's why I wanted to share this one first this week, so that by next week we will be bated breath ready for that higher love, that excellence. It's called excellence, that excellence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just need you all the time. We need you to continue to love us, sometimes in spite of ourselves, and give us the capacity to continue to love others, not because they deserve it, but because they need it. They need to see you in this world. The world is lost without you. And as we said last week, you have no hands but our hands with which to give them bread. You have no feet but our feet to walk among the almost dead. Deeds are the proof of these, not words. Words are the proof of these, not deeds. And these are the proving ours. Thank you, Father God, for being with us. Thank you, God, for sharing your love with us, helping us, encouraging us, challenging us. Thank you that we have a vision today of what you would like for us to do and be, and help us be that in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking forward to next week. I hope that you have a beautiful week in Jesus' name. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him